They begged him to touch the hem of his garment. Now, it's a shame. It's too bad that in the King James and the New King James, they really kind of word it that way. Because this Greek phrase, hem of his garment, krespedon to homation, is more precisely translated in other translations like the New American Standard Version and so on, is more precisely translated the fringe of his mantle or cloak. Yep, Sarah's a Greek scholar. She was wording it. Oh, never mind. All right. But she's sharp anyway. Yeah. You've been hanging around with them Thursday nighters, man. You know all this stuff. This is just going to be review for you. You can go to sleep, you know. Carol, you'll have to stay awake. You're Greensboro. More precisely translated, the fringe of his mantle or cloak. That is hugely significant. What in the world does it mean? Why is it significant? What difference does it make? Okay, a little bit of background here. Back in the Old Testament, back in the book of Numbers, God commanded, there was a violation of the Sabbath. Some guy was out gathering sticks on the Sabbath and treating his word as a mean thing. And God wanted people to know that they needed to follow his ways. They needed to be reminded to walk in his ways and his truth and his word. So he gave them a commandment in Numbers 15. He says this. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. And you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eye are inclined. And that you may remember and do all my commandments and be what? Holy for your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Now, the garment he's referring to there is oftentimes referred to as the mantle. Elijah passed his mantle on to Elisha. It was basically a cloak. It started out as a rather large kind of thing. You could wrap it around you when you were cold. Oftentimes you could wear it on your head and shoulders. You could kind of fold it around your shoulders if it got kind of hot. It could be used as a pillow out in the wilderness. If you're out there and, you know, like Jacob when he was running from his brother, you could set that on a, fold it up and put it on a rock and lay your head on it as a pillow. It was a very versatile garment. And God wanted them to put these tassels on the four corners of this garment. Now, later on, as years went by, they incorporated that into the Jewish prayer shawl, which I'm going to show you in a second. But it was a reminder, because the people were inclined to follow after the flesh. It was a reminder, an accountability symbol for them, to remind them that, no, they are a chosen people. God has called them for himself. They are betrothed to one person, the Lord. And so they were to walk in that betrothal and follow in his ways and have integrity and bear his image and reflect his glory to the nations. They were a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy generation unto God. They were the wife of Yahweh, as it were. And those tassels were to remind them to walk in his ways and represent him. Now, let me show you an example of this. I have a couple of these, actually. They're very beautiful. I'm very grateful for them. But I want to use this one particular one because it incorporates the blue threads. These are so cool. These are prayer shawls. This one talks about the mantle of Elijah and Elisha. Isn't that beautiful? Love that. That's just wonderful. Now, this has many tassels. Actually, there's a lot of symbology here. I think there's like 637 tassels as a symbol of all the different laws in the Old Testament. And the different knots represent the books of Moses or the four letters of God's name. But anyway, on the corners, there are these tassels with blue thread, and that is what that looks like. Okay? And this is worn around the head and the shoulders. You know, you can wear it like that. You can wear it simply on your shoulders. Oftentimes, in modern Judaism, you'll see people wearing garments over that, but they'll leave the tassels hanging out so they can see them and still be reminded of God's word. Okay? Isn't that beautiful? Yes. Praise God. But there's more to this than meets the eye. Now, here's why this is significant. In Malachi, there is a prophecy about the Messiah who was to come, the Savior of the world. Very interesting prophecy. And it says in Malachi 4:2, "But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings." Have you the wing? The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. Now, the word wings there in the Hebrew is kanap. It refers to the outer fringes of the wings of a bird. It doesn't refer to the whole wing, the whole structure. It refers to the feathers on the outer fringe of the wing. That's starting to sound familiar. The outer what? Fringe of the wing. In fact, it can refer to the corners of anything, the edge or particularly the corners of something, particularly a garment. You might remember when Saul was chasing King David, or David at the time, trying to kill him, slaughtered 80-some priests in the process trying to get to David. David was running for his life. Saul one night was resting in a cave, and David came upon him and discovered him and could have killed Saul. But the Lord stayed his hand. So instead, he took his knife and he did something to Saul's garment. He cut off the kanap. He cut off the corner of the garment. More than likely, he cut off that tassel, which was a dishonor for a king. It was a way of saying to him, dude, you better get it together. You are not walking in the Lord. I could have killed you. And then he showed it to Saul later on. He said, look, I came across you. God deliver you into my hand. But I spared your life. But anyway, that word there is kanap. It refers to the corner of his garment where those tassels are, the fringe edge of his garment. So because of this, people got the idea that in that prophecy in Malachi, when the Messiah came, there would be healing in his wings, healing in the fringes or the tassels of his garment. Is this starting to come together now? So that when the Messiah came, there would be healing in the tassels or fringes of his garment. And when they heard that people were getting healed because they reached out and touched the fringe, the tassel of his garment, word got out like wildfire. Guess who's here? It's him. It's the Messiah. It's the Deliverer. It's the Savior. He has come. And there is healing in his wings. No wonder they went crazy when the news got out. No wonder they went telling everybody, man, you have got to come and see Jesus. You've got to come. He's the one. He's the prophesied Messiah. He's come. He's the King. And when they saw him, they literally begged him to let them touch those tassels, those fringes. And guess what? When they did, what do you think happened? They were healed. Every one of them. It says he healed them all. And it says in Luke, it's so cool, the whole multitude sought to touch him for power, dunamis in the Greek, power went out from him, went from the Spirit through Jesus, from Jesus through the tassels into the people and healed them. Power went out. Can you imagine, man? I, you know, that thought occurs to me because that happened before that. word was starting to spread. You did what? You had what? And now you're what? And you did, yes. Well put, brother. Well put. Serious. Wow. So power went out. And so they began to lay the sick in the street so that as Jesus would walk down the street, man, there's Bob and there's Dave and there's Gertrude and there's Tilly over there and Millie over here. And they just wanted to touch that fringe on his garment. Now let me ask you a question, you New Testament scholars in here. Does that sound like anybody else in the New Testament? Is there any other place that they did that with somebody else? Can you think of anybody? Come to mind. Peter, son of... Oh, he was a snake, he would have bit me. Thank God he repented. Peter in the book of Acts. Exactly. Well done. Acts 5:14, it says, "And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, so that at least the..." What's that? Shadow. "So at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them." So there was this dunamis anointing power on Peter, resting and abiding upon him. The very power of God. So much so that wherever he went, if they got close enough to him, that his shadow would fall on them, that power would overcome them and heal them, would touch them. It wasn't the dark spot in the street that was following him around that was doing anything. It was the fact that they were close enough so that that glory that was on Peter, that dunamis power that was resting and abiding on him like a mantle. You ever prayed and felt the mantle of God come on you? Oh. So that as that mantle would pass by, the shadow of Peter, he would just walk through, and as they got close enough, that shadow that was around him, that shadow of glory, that shadow of anointing, that shadow of dunamis power, as it would flow over the sick people, they would just get healed. He didn't have to say anything or command anything. He just walked on by. And they were healed by his shadow, the shadow of his glory. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Here's where it gets downright wild. Okay? I am so glad you're sitting on this side today. Peter had healing in his shadow. Jesus had healing. This is Chris, by the way, but Jesus had healing in his wings. Amen?